Welcome to another episode of your favorite podcast, Disrupt, brought to you by Home Healthcare News and Home Care Homebase. I'm Bob Holly, HHCN's managing editor, and we'll be getting to my conversation with Best Life Brand CEO JJ Sorrenti right after this quick word from our sponsor. The challenge to attract, hire, and retain top talent has never been tougher. That's why now more than ever, you need Home Care Homebase on your side. Our industry-leading software is known, used, and loved by thousands of home-based nurses and clinicians who want quick, convenient software to complete their documentation at their patient's bedside, not at home on their own time. Experienced clinicians on the job hunt are now asking for us by name. So if you're looking for the best people out there, visit hchb.com today and learn more. For this episode of Disrupt, I caught up with JJ Sorrenti, the CEO of Best Life Brands, the PE-backed business that owns Comfort Care, At Your Side, Boost Home Healthcare, and other brands. During our conversation, we spoke about how Best Life Brands has grown and expanded into clinical home health, how JJ views technology in a people-first business, the company's take on workforce trends, and so much more. Let's get to it. All right. Well, I am pleased to welcome JJ Sorrenti, the CEO of Best Life Brands. JJ, thanks for coming on the podcast.
It's my privilege to be here. Thanks for having me.
All right. So in case our listeners aren't as familiar with Best Life Brands as they should be, the overall company has a couple of different home care and senior care brands. So I thought a good place to start would just be a walkthrough of everything that's under the Best Life Brands umbrella.
Thanks. Yeah, it's a moving target for us, and it'll continue to be. Best Life Brands is a holding company based in Troy, Michigan, just a northern Detroit suburb, that has currently four businesses, five brands. It starts with Comfort Care and At Your Side, which is a franchise provider of home care across the U.S. and Canada. Care Patrol, which was founded in Arizona. It's a placement agency, but now sort of identifies itself as senior care solutions organization across the U.S. A very fast growing franchise called Blue Moon Estate Sales, the leading estate sale franchise in the U.S. We kind of call that senior care transition services. And then our most recent addition is the Boost Home Healthcare business, which is dedicated to providing, you know, in-home nursing, occupational, physical, and speech therapies and home care services in the healthcare environment, in the home health environment. Altogether, we have just now over 500 franchise locations across the U.S. and Canada, and we're owned by the private equity company called the Riverside Company out of Cleveland. And you know, they've been around since 2017. They started with Comfort Care and have added, you know, these other platforms on over the last several years and has plans to continue to add.
So I think for the bulk of this conversation, we're really going to be talking about the home care and home health businesses, Comfort Care and Boost At Your Side. But before we dig into the plans for those franchise companies and just some of your goals for the organization overall, I wanted to learn a little bit about your story. I know that you became CEO of Best Life Brands in April 2020. How'd you first get into the home care game? What was the path like that brought you to Best Life Brands?
Yeah, it was fascinating timing, first of all, because COVID was just becoming something that we were all talking about. And so prior to that, several months prior to that, a recruiting firm had identified me as a good candidate to be the CEO at Best Life Brands. And I was interested in the business for a lot of the reasons that all of us are interested in the industry today. You know, the fast growing demographics, the opportunity to provide awesome care and really fixing a problem in the home that is, you know, very difficult to solve. One of the best parts of my career, I was the CEO for Huntington Learning Centers, which is a supplemental education after school tutoring business. Probably the best thing that I ever did in my career was back then, you know, when a child's struggling in school, it really breaks the home apart. And to be able to help fix that was probably the most gratifying thing I was able to do until now. I saw that as very similar where, and I've dealt with it, we've all dealt with it at some level or another where we had a parent that was struggling and needed some care or needed placement. And so I was fascinated by that. The demographics were there. It was a franchising business, which is what my background is. I don't have healthcare experience, but I have franchising experience. And it felt like the team would appreciate my leadership style. So jumped on board, and then COVID smacked us right in the side of the head. And so I was trying to learn advanced algebra while I hadn't really understood math and science or addition and subtraction yet. So it was a very difficult onboarding process for me trying to learn the business as we were trying to understand how to deal with COVID. But it's been a very gratifying experience and very pleased that I made the decision to join Best Life Brands.
JJ, you know, somebody else in your position who was coming into home care for the first time, they could have decided to stick to the bread and butter home care services, but you actually decided to expand into the medical type home care arena. I think it was in 2021, Best Life Brands acquired Pro Health Home Care and then launched the Boost Home Healthcare franchise opportunity. Boost does in-home nursing, therapy, home care services to patients in the greater LA area, or it did originally, now it's expanding nationwide. Why'd you decide to do that?
Yeah, so as I was interviewing for the position coming into the company in early 2020, late 2019, everyone that I spoke with at the private equity firm said that home healthcare initiative was very important to the senior care platform. They were already talking about the strategy. And it's for all the same reasons. There's so much need in the marketplace and there's so much opportunity for people. And look, is it about a profitability model? Of course, at some level, you want to be a profitability model, but our model is also about helping people and being able to be available and convenient to people that need the care. Our private equity firm was very interested in getting into the space. And so COVID didn't hesitate or slow that process down, not one bit. In fact, it accelerated it a bit. We looked around really hard to find the right home health agency. We wanted to acquire a home health agency that we could actually scale across the country. And we looked at a lot of them and finally found ProHealth in Southern California. The rest is history so far. We acquired that back in March of 2021. And now we've got 7 or 8, I think, now territories franchised for Boost. And our very first franchisee will be opening here sometime during the second or third quarter of 2022.
So Best Life Brands has hundreds of locations across its network and its different brands. I think I'm most interested in hearing about Comfort Care and At Your Side and Boost, but even amid the pandemic, how have these different brands grown?
So each one of them was impacted differently, of course. Comfort Care and At Your Side, there were pros and cons to COVID. I think anyone that's in home care that understands home care and is in it, like most of the listeners to this podcast, they'll know that, you know, there were hospitals discharging patients early, so people needed care. There were hospitals that there were facilities that needed quarantine, and so we were able to help out in that situation. So it was a fascinating sort of mix in the Comfort Care and At Your Side. Mostly the impact of COVID was positive to our franchisees in that brand. Care Patrol was much more impacted. It was harder for us to tour communities and facilities, which is the way we do business. We do it person to person, face to face, in the market, in the facility, in the community. So that was very difficult to do, but we sort of had to go towards more of a digital experience and a more of a video experience. And we did that. And so we were slow for a while and then rebounded, and the private equity firm made some investments in Care Patrol during that period of time to make sure that the franchisees were able to survive and get through the situation, which if it was still a founder-owned business, I think would have been hard to do. The Blue Moon Estate Sales, we actually changed that business much quicker. You know, everyone that's done an estate sale or experienced one, either as a client or as a customer, knows that, you know, Saturday mornings or Friday afternoons or Friday mornings, those are very busy times. People stand in line and get into the home and run around the home. Well, we switched to a by appointment model that we still use today in some sales so that we could keep spacing, keep, you know, meet local codes, because there were restrictions placed, especially in certain states and in certain geographies. And so we made a change in that business that actually was one that helped our business improve and go down the road. So every business was impacted a little bit differently. That's the benefit of having multiple brands and a platform. But at the local level, you know, the CEO of Best Life Brands can sit up here and say, well, you know, one business is doing really well, one business is doing poorly, but on average, we're doing okay. But that doesn't count when you're an individual franchisee and a brand that's struggling. And so we pay very special focus to each one of those 500 territories to make sure that the business is doing well.
What are you targeting as far as new territories or locations sold by the end of 2022? And again, I'm really interested in home care and home health care, but if you want to kind of go across the entire organization, that works too.
No, yeah, we can stick it. You know, generally speaking, I've been in franchising for a really long time, 30 plus years. And every time any of the businesses that I've been involved in started to target certain geographies, it got really inefficient. What we really try to do is find the candidates that are interested in our business, and hopefully the geography that they're interested in is available in our brand. Because I think if you start to focus on Chicago or Dallas or Pittsburgh, it gets really hard. You can identify. Now, listen, every franchise development director that's around has an answer to the question. Well, I'm flexible. I'm a candidate. I'm interested in franchising. I currently live in Myrtle Beach. I'll move anywhere. Where should I go? They all have an answer to that question, but they all have different answers based on their experience and what they like. We don't really have, we have lots of territory available, so we don't really need to focus or look at any specific markets. And so we've kind of stayed flexible that way based on the candidates to call us and see where their interest lies, because 90% of their interest is the neighborhood they live in, usually. And so we want to be able to respond to that.
When the country was feeling the worst of COVID's economic impact, we at Home Healthcare News wrote about how there might be more entrepreneurial types that would target home care as their next career. You know, maybe somebody was in finance, they perhaps got laid off, or they simply were burnt out and wanted to change. They wanted to do something more mission-driven. And so they decided, hey, I'm going to help seniors age in place. Did you see any of that across Best Life Brands?
For sure. And listen, the demand for home care has gone up since the start of the pandemic. Caregivers were unable to work during that time because they needed to care for their children who were doing remote schooling. And then, of course, the stress of the pandemic and all the healthcare professions, especially caregiving, those folks are heroes. The work that they were doing, how they were doing it, what they had to wear to do it, it's they're heroes, every single one of them. So there was so much stress in the industry as well. But I'll tell you that, you know, again, having been in franchising for a long time, as economies start to turn down, there are people that say, you know, I don't want to leave my money in the marketplace. I'm tired of working for the man at corporate. I'm going to go off and do this on myself, do this by myself, and I'm going to get into business for myself. You know, in down economies, franchising flourishes. In up economies, people are waiting for the market to sort of get to the top, and then they take some of that extra money out that they weren't expecting that was in the market for them, and they can go invest into a business that they have. The slowdowns usually in franchising usually happen during the transition periods. We're almost in one right now. We're kind of coming out of it. I think if we were to stretch our toe to try and feel the bottom, I think we'd probably feel it at this stage. I think those things are going to start to flatten and start to get better. And as that starts to happen, then people start to make decisions about life. And to your point, COVID hit us really fast. There wasn't much of a transition period. And therefore, people decided they wanted to get into franchising. And there were a lot of people interested in the home care marketplace because of the demand that was happening in the market at the same time.
Apart from just entrepreneurs who are looking to get into home care, are you seeing any other types of home care owners that in the past maybe you wouldn't have seen? For example, some home care operators that I've spoken with, this has certainly always been a trend, but a lot of their caregivers are actually getting to a point where they're trying to own their own home care agencies. Are you seeing anything like that as well?
We are. We're especially seeing it on the Boost side. And in fact, several of our new franchisees, and we have, you know, a couple of handfuls, are nurses that have decided that they wanted to run business for themselves. Lots of interest that we've received are people that, again, don't want to work. And that, I don't think, was the typical, wasn't really in home health before. But I don't think that's been the typical candidate to own an agency or run an agency, but that's starting to happen. And so, yeah, I think, and we'll have to modify the way we thought about things, right? If you have a nurse that's now the operator, maybe they need a little more help in sales and marketing and a little less help on the clinical side. And so you just have to make sure you have your operating systems and your ongoing support modified to make sure that, you know, you're supporting the franchisees the best you can. But we're certainly starting to see that on the home health side, especially.
There's obviously a lot of reasons to get into home care, home health care right now. Maybe consider opening up a Best Life Brands agency of your own. But of course, there are some very real challenges as well. Right now, it's difficult to recruit caregivers. It's difficult to retain caregivers. I will say, I think there's some relief, if you want to call it that, in that area, just due to economic circumstances. Folks are joining the labor market once again. But what are you seeing from your owners in the Best Life Brands network on the staffing front?
So a few things. First, I think we see retention is very strong for us. And that's a good thing. And, you know, 94% of our caregivers report that they're very pleased with their work at Comfort Care and At Your Side. That's a really high mark. And so retention's in a good place, as well as, you know, you can keep them busy. Before, you would have caregivers maybe sitting on the bench or weren't getting the hours that they wanted. That's not a problem today. And so that's not as much of an issue as recruitment is. Always the bigger issue. And it's fascinating to me that, you know, again, not having been in the home care space before, that a lot of franchisors were already helping franchisees find talent. And it's interesting to me because in the last 2 years, even fast food restaurants are realizing where they thought this is the franchisee's issue. You know, they'll go find the people, they have to go hire and fire. And now they're actually having to help them find them. Otherwise, the restaurants are closed. And they didn't have that muscle before. But a lot of home care franchises, I know Comfort Care and At Your Side, have been helping franchisees find caregivers for 7 to 8 years. There's a caregiver first initiative that they've really refined. It's a fascinating, wonderful program that sort of sets us apart in many ways to other home care franchises, because we do know how and can help franchisees find caregivers on the recruitment side. That has existed, and it has proliferated itself a little more. But to your point, I think we're starting to see a little bit of relief. And the other thing that's happening is that franchisees have found different ways to schedule, and they have found different ways to structure that staff. If they had 100 caregivers in their agency before, now they have 75. They're still able to get the same number of hours out of those 75 caregivers. They may shift a few people over to full-time. They may shift some people to weekends versus weekdays. It's been a very creative process. And then when somebody finds really good math, we're able to share best practices across the system. So I think it's been a real good learning experience for all of us. And it's, for us, it's a chance for us to share those great best practices across the system.
I think you already just mentioned a couple of examples, but are there any other interesting or innovative ways that you could touch on related to how and where Best Life Brands owners are recruiting caregivers? For example, you know, maybe targeting labor pools that you wouldn't have in the past, something along those lines.
That hasn't changed a lot. I think we're kind of all fishing in the same ponds, and so sort of, you know, some people like to fish out in the middle of the pond. Some people like to fish on the shores. I think we're all sort of doing the same things we were doing before. But I think one of the things, and I mentioned that retention's not an issue, but retention's not an issue because people are paying attention to it. You know, making sure caregivers are feeling there's a career path in the work that they do. There's a purpose to the work that they do, that the franchisee or the owner or Best Life Brands or Comfort Care and At Your Side are all transparent with that caregiver. It relates to everything that's going on in the business. I think all those things are really, they're not magic phrases. They're not things that you wouldn't do before, but I think people paying attention to it have helped retention. And then when retention is good and you have happy caregivers, again, high percentage of people saying they really like working for Comfort Care, that's really important because then they can refer friends. They can refer other fellow caregivers, and they know already that their friend Bill, who's been working at Comfort Care for 2 years, likes what he does. That's a huge endorsement and is really helpful on the recruitment side.
You mentioned that retention at Best Life Brands is fairly strong. A lot of different ingredients go into the retention stew, so to speak. There's compensation, scheduling, which you mentioned, education and training opportunities, you know, non-monetary type compensation, like PTO or perks for employees. What are some of the key retention ingredients that you're really focused on as the CEO of Best Life Brands?
Well, you know, we literally just came out of a strategy session with the whole leadership team, and we talked for several hours about the employee workforce and how we're going to work in retention, not only to help our franchisees do that, but our own employees, you know, at Best Life Brands. You know, to be the employer of choice is very important today. And I don't think we've been insulated from the impact of the mass resignations at all. our turnover has increased slightly. It went down when I joined the company. I think the stability of somebody new was helpful to them. COVID probably impacted that number a little bit too. And now it started to increase a little. So we have to pay attention to that. And how are we doing that? I think you pointed out all the right things and all the things that we try and work on. But we also try and make sure, as I mentioned earlier, just being really transparent and making sure that folks that are on the team understand the why behind what they're doing. Most people join this company for that reason. You know, there's a really great why. Everyone gets up in the morning and has a job to do, and they wake up and they've got a why. But ours is really special. You almost have to be, and I'm certainly not making fun of or saying it's anything negative, but you almost have to work in a nonprofit to have the kind of why that we have, helping people live their best lives and helping families solve problems for caregiving. I mean, that's just a wonderful purpose. And so reminding people of that purpose and reminding how the impact that we make. And as we sit around the table at our, you know, at our corporate offsite, talking about the thousands and tens of thousands of people we're impacting in a positive way every day is really powerful. So making sure people understand that. And then, oh, by the way, you better be competitive on pay scale, and you better be competitive on PTO and be flexible with that. And the work-life balance all better be there. All those things I think are critically important, but we really are focused on the purpose, the trust, and the transparency.
Kind of have a two-part question here. The first part of the question is, you know, you have the non-medical home care brands, then you also have the more medical focused Boost, which is, you know, your nurses, your therapist type position. Are the recruitment and retention challenges the same there, or are they a little bit more complex because you're dealing with a different type of worker? And then separately, so often in home care, when we're talking about recruitment and retention, we're talking about caregivers and clinicians, but there's also, you know, schedulers and the billing department and office administrators and a whole list of other positions that go into running a home care business. And I'm just wondering if some of the workforce issues are as difficult there.
So I'll go backwards on the two parts. So the administrative side of our businesses have not seen that much negative impact. I think they probably turn over a little bit faster if they have a full-time recruiter and that recruiter is not as effective as that person needs to be. But I think voluntary separations have not been anything significant on that side. So the administration side, I think franchisees would tell you and we would tell you it's pretty normal. But no, it's no different if you want to compare the recruitment and retention for caregiver versus clinician. It's no different. Hard to find, getting a little bit easier lately, lots of burnout. You know, they all are sort of, they were all dealing with kind of the same things. And again, I just can't overstate. I mean, there are so many amazing stories and so many heroic things that went on to make sure that people were being taken care of. And these caregivers and these clinicians were just amazing in what they did. It's just so selfless, literally not seeing their family sometimes for 2 weeks because they were quarantining themselves as they were dealing with COVID patients. It's just incredible. But no, I'm sorry to tell you that, you know, by jumping into the Boost home health business, was it easier to go find a physical therapist and occupational therapist? Doesn't look that way. It's been very difficult, but yet we've had some success at it just in pockets. And we're all sort of looking for the best process to bring. And by the way, I think one of the other things that has been an advantage, and I think everyone's trying to do this, is as you find a good candidate, you want to make that onboarding process as easy as possible before, you know, you still have to go through the background checks and all the things that you have to do, but you want to make that as efficient and quick as possible, because if it gets to be a little bit time intensive, if it takes a little too long, if you seem like you're not making decisions fast enough, candidates will just go find something else to do. It doesn't have to be caregiving, although I think most of them want to do that. So That is also something we did in our processes. As we rolled out Boost, we made sure we used all the best technologies as we're going to help our franchisees find clinicians. But we've had to improve our process on onboarding for caregivers as well.
Just in case you're listening in and want a refresher on who we're speaking with, I am on with the CEO of Best Life Brands, JJ Sorrenti. JJ, normally during these Disrupt podcast conversations, I like to spend the first 20 minutes or so talking about the specific organization and basic background plans looking ahead. But I want to spend the next 10 minutes or so talking about some big picture home care questions. And let's start out with this one. It's pretty open-ended, so I'm curious to see where you go here, but what issue, in your view, isn't getting enough attention in home care? We talk a lot about recruitment and retention, but what aren't we talking enough about?
You know, Robert, I'm a big admirer of all the work that you guys do. So I think you cover the industry and the vertical very, very well. You know, as we're running down the path, technology and how technology is going to interface with home care and how that may help the labor question probably could get a lot more attention. There are literally hundreds of solutions out there today, and it's going to be fascinating to watch who ends up being the leader, or at least the 10 leaders or the 20 leaders. We went through an evaluation process for ourselves as we started venturing into what traditionally is called remote patient monitoring. We're calling it virtual care services. We'll probably have a marketing name for it here soon as we start to test it with our franchisees. That technology, how that's going to help in the home care space to be more efficient, to help people deal in home care more often. I think there's going to be a lot more discussed about that in the future. And I think COVID probably at some level accelerated that process, but at another level sort of put that initiative and that discussion sort of to the back burner. And I think you guys will bring that back out here in the near term, because there's a lot of companies that are thinking about jumping into doing remote patient monitoring, as we call it, virtual care services. And I think there's going to be some really fascinating changes to the industry in the next several years as a result of it.
And in contrast, is there an issue or topic, maybe apart from staffing, that's getting too much attention? Or in other words, is there a business trend or something that in your view is way too overblown?
I don't think so. But I think the demand for this service is so huge that we probably are, I don't think we're getting, I'll probably answering your first question again, you know, we're probably understating how bad we are at delivering the solution to so many people that need it. So, I don't think you can pay too much attention to that. I really don't think there's anything that, because this, again, there's so much demand out there that there's probably nothing that will get too much attention right now. I'm not getting bored of reading about the things that you guys report on. But again, I have an interesting perspective because I've really only been in the industry for 24 months. So not too much is getting old on me just yet. It's still pretty fresh to me.
But that's a really good point. We spend so much time talking about the past few years and how healthcare and senior care has shifted into the home because of the COVID-19 emergency. But long before that, we knew that the silver tsunami was coming. We knew that the demographics of this country were rapidly changing and that there would be this huge supply and demand imbalance. And those macro level trends probably are overshadowed a little bit just because of recent developments.
I think so. And I think so. And listen, I think, you know, we rolled out some programs prior to me joining the company. We have a wonderful program at Comfort Care called Dementiawise. It was one of two programs that the Alzheimer's Association endorses for the work that we do in the home. And look, I think it's time for Dementiawise 2.0. But we probably would have gotten to Dementiawise 2.0 maybe earlier this year or late last year if it weren't for COVID. So that's another example of programs kind of get extended. And that's, you know, a business opportunity that we think can put us back on the leading edge and continue to be on the leading edge. But the product life cycle of that program was probably extended a bit thanks to COVID.
And shifting back to Best Life Brands, as the CEO of the organization, what business opportunities in home care are you excited about in the back half of 2022 most, maybe even looking ahead to next year?
Yeah, so maybe we're a little bit slow on the technology side, but we're going full force in now. We've got a market test for virtual care services, and we don't know where that's going to take us. We're testing it in home care at this stage. We're pretty sure we're going to end up taking it into Boost Home Health. We even think there may be utility in the care patrol and the placement agency side of the business. And so we're really excited about, we've finally signed a partner. We've got somebody helping us on the technology side. We're really excited about them. And we're about to go to market with a handful of franchisees testing this and seeing how many and what the traction is going to look like and just what it looks like. I think we can't quite model that out yet. And even with our partner, they they've been frustrated with us a little bit because we're trying to figure out how big and how small and what programs we'll be engaged with. And I just keep saying, let's let the franchisees show us. Let's just get it out in the market and watch. And I think that's going to be really interesting for us in the second half of this year and going into 2023.
I feel like I probably already know the answer to this, but I've recently been doing more work with our sister publication, Behavioral Health Business, and virtual care is a big theme when it comes to mental health services, right? Yeah. Over the past few years, a lot of mental health has shifted to digital models, connecting folks in need of services with a therapist electronically, sometimes 100% so. But now there's almost this period of reckoning where some of these companies are realizing we can't only do it digitally. We need the virtual care, but we also need the physical in-person care. Do you think that there's any kind of, I don't want to say danger, but you know, chance of that happening in home care where maybe providers become too virtual focused and you know, start to lose touch of the fact that home care will probably always be a people first business?
It can be. I do agree with that. I think if you think about any, look, I came from retail. So there are people in retail. You can think about retail, you know, going into the bricks and mortar store, and you can think about retail going online. And I'm a big golfer, so we can talk about that. You know, do I like to walk in the store and pick up a golf club and feel and see what it feels like? Yeah, that's great. There are parts of the golf industry, though, that I don't need to pick up a golf ball. I know the golf ball that I want, so I can maybe do that online. I think to your point, there's probably things, there are some people that will enjoy 100% virtual care services and they'll be fine with that. There'll be clients like that. Then there'll be some that don't even want to figure out how to plug anything in. They don't want to deal with that. That's okay too. And then there'll be the hybrid model. I think we'll find our space. Everyone will find their space, but there'll be clients that will want all of that. I think if you're exclusively on either end of the spectrum, you'll just limit the market that you're in, but you'll probably get really good at that. And then if you're in the middle, you'll be, you know, the generalist that can handle a whole lot of clients. And so I think that's ahead for the industry. And I think in a lot of ways, the industry is getting there really fast.
And I think to start wrapping up, what else is in store for Best Life Brands this year? Could you maybe tease some of your plans or items on your to-do list?
Well, I mentioned, you know, getting into the virtual care services space for Comfort Care and At Your Side. And I think probably from the Riverside companies, we'll probably have another acquisition completed before the year's over. Just add another brand to the portfolio somewhere in senior care services, somewhere on that senior care continuum. And there'll probably be another one yet at the beginning of 2023. And so those things are in front of us. But at the same time, you know, we just need to keep putting locations on the map. We have all these great services. We've proven them in 500 territories across the country. We need to be more convenient to the client. So our attention is to get some of these new programs out there and understand what they'll look like for 2023, maybe add another brand to the portfolio. But in the meantime, the four brands we have, keep putting pins in the map, keep finding people that are interested in our business so that we can help them take care of people in the market that they're in.
Well, this has been a fun conversation. And even though we weren't recording during it, everybody listening in, JJ and I probably spoke for about 10, 15 minutes about play-by-play announcing in the sports space. I'm a big baseball fan, so that was fun for me too. JJ, it's been really great. Thank you for all the Best Life Brands updates and kind of just sharing your thought leadership on the home care space looking ahead.
Thank you for your time and all of your hard work in the industry. You guys are leaders to us, and we appreciate the work that you do every day. So thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Disrupt. For more news and insights on the home health and home care industries, subscribe to our daily or weekly newsletters at homehealthcarenews.com, or better yet, consider becoming an HHCN Plus member. I'm Bob Holly, and this has been a production of Aging Media Network, Chicago, Illinois.